I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from the Women's Media Center, Women's E! News, and other sources around the world. This week in women's history, on March 8, 1977, International Women's Day was first observed as a popular event when the United Nations General Assembly invited member states to proclaim the day as the UN Day for Women's Rights and World Peace. The first National Women's Day was observed on February 28, 1909, in the United States, following a declaration by the Socialist Party of America. From Turkey to Tunisia, Afghanistan, the Philippines, and Venezuela, women around the world gathered to mark International Women's Day this week. In Istanbul, Turkey, semi-naked women covered in artificial blood protested against domestic violence to mark the day. The demonstrators, members of the Ukraine-based women's rights group FEMIN, were quickly arrested. Turkish women took part in the other more low-key demonstrations across the city, reported Voice of America. A report this week revealed that in 2012, one woman in Turkey has died nearly every day as a result of domestic violence. International Women's Day was no exception. A divorced woman was shot dead in Istanbul, allegedly by a relative of her divorced husband. In Cairo, more than 2,000 women marched, dismayed that Egypt's revolution is failing to advance their cause. The women demanded increasing their representation in the People's Assembly and the Shura Council, which has been low, according to the Egyptian Gazette. In Sudan, 4,000 prisoners, including hundreds of women and children, were released to mark the day, according to the Los Angeles Times. In Somalia, women held a parade, the first one of its kind since the Shabab, an Islamic militant group, was ejected from the capital, Mogadishu, the Associated Press reported. In Washington, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and First Lady Michelle Obama honored 10 women from around the world for courage and leadership in advocating for women's rights and empowerment, often at great personal risk, reported the Washington Post. Obama recounted stories of honorees from Myanmar, Pakistan, Colombia, and Brazil who were imprisoned, silenced, tortured, and kidnapped for speaking out for women's rights, social justice, peace, or democracy. Mylène Verwier, the State Department's ambassador at large for global women's issues, said women's empowerment is key to economic development as well as political progress. No country is going to get ahead if it leaves half its population behind, Verwier said. Vote Vets, a coalition of Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, released a letter this week from a group of female veterans calling on the American Forces Network to drop Rush Limbaugh from its programming. Limbaugh caused a firestorm of protest when he dubbed a Georgetown law student who testified on Capitol Hill about the need for coverage of birth control a slut and prostitute. The letter noted that when so many female troops use birth control, Limbaugh's remarks were beyond the pale. Quote, it isn't just disrespectful to our women serving our country, but it's language that goes against everything that makes our military work, the authors wrote in the letter. Pentagon spokesman George Little says the military's network will continue to air Rush Limbaugh's radio program and is, quote, unaware of any plans to review that decision. And Limbaugh has attacked a reporter and author who published a book about low-income food industry employees. Limbaugh said of Tracy McMillan, what is it with all these young, single, white women? Overeducated doesn't mean intelligent, according to the show's official transcript. He twice called her, quote, an authorette, and also referred to her as this babe. The Women's Media Center has started a new campaign called Bullied by Rush in response to what it called the long history of offensive comments and attacks by the talk show radio host. Texas is on the verge of eliminating its state-run women's health program, the Daily Beast Newsweek reported. The state program provides reproductive health care for more than 130,000 poor women annually who don't meet Texas Medicaid eligibility requirements. Because federal law won't permit Texas to bar Planned Parenthood or any other qualified provider from the program, the state is poised to discontinue it, refusing $35 million from Washington. While Governor Rick Perry has told state officials to find funds for the program to prevent its elimination, according to the AP, he has not specified where the money will come from. Democratic State Representative Stacey Newman has introduced a bill into the Missouri legislature which would prevent vasectomies from being performed on a man unless it is to save his life. Newsman says she brought the bill forward to lawmakers because if the state is going to restrict access to birth control used by 98% of Missouri women, then it should be fair to legislate men's access as well, reported KMOV.com. The European Union is moving closer to introducing mandatory quotas for the number of women on company boards after businesses failed to make sufficient progress in gender equality over the past year. The European Commission, the EU's executive arm, said that over the past 12 months, only 24 companies had signed a pledge to ensure that 30% of their board positions are held by women by 2015. By 2020, that figure should increase to 40%. The percentage of women chairing major European companies even fell slightly over the past 2 years, reported ABC News. Muslim female soccer players will be allowed to wear specially designed head coverings during games after the International Football Association board lifted a ban, the Huffington Post reported. The new attire will be tested for 4 months. Soccer's international governing body, known as FIFA, has prohibited headscarves since 2007, citing safety concerns. And the Calvert Foundation has announced the launch of Women Investing in Women Initiative, which it calls Win-Win, which will invest at least $20 million in high-impact organizations and projects worldwide that create opportunities for women lacking access to traditional credit and funding sources. And in New Mexico news, the American Civil Liberties Union and the ACLU of New Mexico have filed a lawsuit on behalf of 15-year-old Chantel Hicks. She was initially kicked out of a middle school run by the Bureau of Indian Affairs in Gallup and then publicly humiliated at an assembly by the school director and another staff member because she was pregnant. The complaint alleges that school administrators violated Hicks' constitutional right to equal protection under the law, Title IX's prohibitions against sex and pregnancy discrimination, and violations of her right to privacy. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamerick.